My sermon today is a midrash, which is an ancient storytelling style of reading between the lines to imagine how a story we already know might have affected other characters. This midrash is from the perspective of Mary's sister before she became Jesus' aunt. In the days before the angel Gabriel came to my sister Mary, we used to have conversations about how our lives would turn out someday. I dreamed that I would marry a wool merchant, and he would be handsome and wealthy and young, and he would bring me beautiful dyes, and I would weave colorful cloths fit for royalty that would be known for miles around. But Mary's dreams weren't like mine. Before our parents decided that she was to be married to Joseph, she dreamed of marrying a priest, like our cousin Elizabeth had done. She dreamed of raising strong sons who would be fathers of new tribes that would change the world, like the sons of Rachel and Leah. She dreamed of being a prophet like Nathan, who would have the ear of a king like David. Mary didn't want riches or fame. She wanted to help the world become more just and kind. She wanted to talk about God and the law and the prophets. If she had been a man, I always thought she could have been a great scholar. She memorized the songs of Miriam and Hannah and the Psalms, and whenever she thought no one was listening, she would sing new songs too. She had a wonderful voice. She would sing to God and ask for wisdom and patience. Mary and I both knew that, as women, the Lord had not given us as many blessings as our brothers and boy cousins had been given. They got to study the Torah while we cooked and cleaned, and no matter how much she wanted to join, Mary was always shooed off. From a corner, she would answer the questions the men asked of the younger boys. But even as she was scolded, one of the boys would be praised for repeating her answer. In their daily prayers, the men always thanked God that they were not born women. But hadn't God worked through women before? Hadn't Esther saved the lives of all her people? Hadn't Shiphrah and Puah saved the life of Moses so that he could lead us out of slavery? Hadn't Yael fought for her tribe as bravely and as bloodily as her husband or any of his warriors? Hadn't Deborah been appointed a judge over Israel? Hadn't Susanna spoken the truth in the face of death just like Daniel? Hadn't Rahab understood the glory of God the moment she saw the faces of God's messengers? If God could work through these women and could speak through these women, then why couldn't my sister be trusted to study the Torah that she loved as much as any of the boys or the young men, as much as any of the priests? Were we really so inferior, just because we were cursed to be cast out as unclean every month? But one night, as she lay beside me, Mary whispered to me that an angel had come to her. I didn't believe her. Sounded like a dream, too wonderful to believe. Our family wasn't rich or noble or important. Why would an angel come to my sister and not the daughter of a king? And anyway, had an angel ever come to the mother of David, or the mother of Moses, or to Rachel, the mother of Joseph, to tell them that they would bear sons who would one day become the saviors of their people? I stroked my sister's hair and told her to go back to sleep. Men can fight for their people and lead their people and teach and earn greatness by following God. Infants cannot save the world. Everyone knows that. Infants do nothing but eat and sleep and cry, and they don't always live long enough to become men. Not when your family doesn't have enough food, or fuel for heat when it's cold, or money for medicine when sickness comes to your village. There are many blessings that are given to men and not to women, but there are also many blessings that are given to the rich and not to the poor. Surely, the best blessing that Mary or I could ever hope to ask for would be the health of the husbands or children that we might have. Maybe we dared to hope not to see war in our lifetimes. Maybe we dared to hope not to feel hunger again. We were simple people, and we had simple hopes. Why would an angel come to a simple girl like my sister? Beside me, Mary slept, but I stayed awake the whole night thinking over her words, or at least it felt that way. I awoke when the sun had come up. Mary was gone. I must have fallen asleep because I never noticed her leave. Mary stayed for 3 months with our cousin Elizabeth, whom I knew must be large with child. Every day as I worked, I came up with a new way to explain away what Mary had said to me that night. Maybe she had dreamed about one of the stories of the angels and was still speaking from the dream when she told me that an angel had come to her. People have strange dreams all the time. Maybe it was one of the stories that she made up to tell our little cousins. Maybe she'd said nothing at all, and it was my mind that had dreamed the strange things she had told me. But maybe she really was pregnant. And maybe she was afraid of what would happen. What consequences are there for men who are unfaithful or who don't do right by the women who bear their children? There is no evidence of fatherhood unless a child grows up to look like him. If Mary had become pregnant out of love with Joseph, who was to be her husband soon, she would be blamed. If Mary had become pregnant out of love with someone else, she would be not only blamed, but stoned to death. Yet if the man didn't come forward, there would be no consequence for him. If Mary had been raped, she would be blamed. And if the man was found so much the worse, she would have to marry him. There is no justice in this world for women, in this world of men. We are passed as property from our fathers to our husbands, no matter how fondly. Our voices don't count, and our opinions are brushed aside, and our dreams don't matter. If our husbands divorce us, we are left with nothing. If we bear no sons, we have no one to care for us in our old age. If we make a vow, our fathers or our husbands can break it if they don't approve. Our word means nothing. Every day she was gone, I worried for Mary. I worried for Joseph, too. He was a good man. If there was to be a baby, I feared for my niece or nephew. On the day that Mary came back, I was the first to see her. I ran to meet her and threw my arms around her, and that's when I felt it, the tiny bump on her stomach. She really was with child. As she saw the realization on my face, she laughed at me. And in her laughter, I realized something. My sister had never lied to me. She had never told a joke at my expense. She had never tricked me into anything. I had no reason not to trust her. Even if men wouldn't trust the word of women, we women should still stand by and believe each other. So when Mary told me the story again of how the angel had come to her, I brought water to wash her feet and fruit to refresh her from her journey, and I listened to her, really listened. She told me of her time with her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah and the conversations they had had. Elizabeth had never doubted her, like I had. I asked Mary if she had her own song now, like Miriam or Hannah. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of this servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear the Lord from generation to generation. My Lord has shown strength and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped the Lord's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." I could hear the joy in Mary's voice. Joy that God had spoken to her through an angel. Joy that God had considered her at all. Joy that she had been given a role to play in God's story. Joy that she would bear a son. That she would be able to fill his head with thoughts of justice, of hope, of love, of peace. Joy that she could sing him to sleep with the songs of Miriam and Hannah and with the Psalms. Joy that she could teach this child to listen to others and to respect them. Joy that she, like Nathan, would have the ear of a king. Joy that through this child, God would show the proud what it really means to be strong. That through this child, God would bring down the powerful who do not care for their people, and instead lift up the lowly, who know what it means to work hard, to find solutions, and to work with family and neighbors, because sometimes when you are poor, the strength of your community is the only treasure that you have. Joy that through this child, the hungry would have good things, bread and wine and great feasting. That through this child, the men and the rich, who had always had more blessings than we poor women, would see the privilege they had, would see the hurt they had done us, would see the responsibility they held for our broken dreams. Joy that through this child there would be justice, not just for rich men and kings, but for us. For Mary and me, too. I didn't know what would happen, whether Joseph would accept this child, whether it would shame our family, whether all would be right in the end. But I knew that all of Mary's dreams had come true. And I knew that through this child, God's dreams for creation would come true too.